My guest says unforgiveness can cause cancer, rheumatoid arthritis, premature death. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. And some of you that are viewing us right now are in a prison. And the sad thing is, many in prison don't even realize they're in prison. It's a prison that can cause rheumatoid arthritis, cancer, depression, and literally death. It's a prison of unforgiveness. My guest, John Bevere, has written a book on this subject that is so amazing. As a matter of fact, John, in your book, you talk about a man that literally died on the operating table. Tell me about him.
It's a man in the Philippines who's a very successful businessman. He ran from the call of God in his life for years. As a result of his disobedience, it caught up. He died. They pronounced him dead. When he left his body, he found himself outside the huge gates of heaven. Yeah. When he turned around, there stood Jesus, yet Jesus didn't have a happy look on his face. Immediately, he began to repent because of his disobedience, and he asked for an extension on his life. And the Lord granted it to him. And he said, but before I send you back, because the man said to the Lord, he said, I will sell everything, I will get rid of it, and I will go into the ministry. And Jesus granted it. The man lived 5 years longer and has since now gone to be with the Lord. But Jesus said, before I send you back, I want to show you something. He took him to a place where they both beheld hell, and he saw the souls tormented in hell. And the torment in hell, Sid, is beyond what we can describe. But he saw this, and he noticed one person. It was his wife's mother. When he saw her, he turned to Jesus and said, what is she doing there? She's a Christian. She went to church. And Jesus looked at him with a very grieved look on his face, and he said, she refused to forgive a relative that had deeply hurt her. Now, the key word is she refused. It's not she was working through it. She refused to forgive a person who had deeply hurt her.
And you're saying because of this unforgiveness, forget death, she ended up in hell?
Well, you see, hell is only a place where people go where they already are. It's not like you leave this earth and it's weighed out if you are good or bad, and you go to heaven and you go to hell. Your spiritual state is where you'll end up going. People are walking in death and in sin and in darkness. Jesus said, whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. When a person dies, they'll go to the place where they're the slave of. Jesus came to liberate us, not to condemn us. He came to get us free from that place.
Okay, you said, in this particular case, she chose not to forgive. Let me throw you out just an imaginary case. A woman is abused sexually by her father. And horrible things are done.
Right.
And he's an alcoholic. And she hates him with every fiber of her being. He has ruined her life. You can't say she has chosen not to forgive her father. She can't.
She can't forgive him without the help of Jesus Christ. This is the thing. A person that cannot forgive is a person who's forgotten what they've been forgiven of. When Jesus came to die for the sins of the world, he died for everyone's sins. Our job is to tell people, you're forgiven. You now have been reconciled back to God. It's because when Adam sinned against God in the garden, man was separated. Okay? Jesus came to break that separation down, pay the price of that sin. He paid the price of our wrongdoings that we inherited, that our lives consisted of. A person that cannot forgive doesn't really realize how great of a sin they've been forgiven of. When Jesus went to Calvary, he forgave us of a debt we never could have paid. What we did to offend God was much worse than what anybody could do to us. What a person deserves, Sid, when we die, is to go to hell. We deserve to burn in hell for eternity, the lake of fire for eternity. God is the just judge. God would never send anyone to hell if they didn't justly deserve it. We justly deserve that. What was done to that girl, as bad as it seems, is nothing compared to an eternity in hell. I remember in the city that I'm living in, was living in, I remember there was something horrifying that happened to that city. And in that city, a father had taken, he was upset at his 1.5-year-old baby, and put the oven on for 15 minutes on boiler.
The baby was probably screaming a lot.
Yeah, misbehaving. The mother was out. The father was watching the kids. He was upset at the baby, put the broiler on, pulled the rack out after 15 minutes. Mm. It's searing hot, and began to bounce the baby on the rack.
Oh.
Third-degree burns from head to toe. It horrified the entire city. Now, as bad as what was done to that baby by that father, and I mean it horrified us, as bad as that was, it's nothing compared to eternity in hell. And yet that is what that baby deserved, that's what I deserved, that's what you deserved, that's what everybody watching us on television deserved. But Jesus chose to forgive us when we didn't deserve to be forgiven.
Okay, but what if the person doesn't deserve to be forgiven that has done something to us?
Well, we didn't deserve to be forgiven.
I know we didn't, but so you mean it's the same thing for them?
If we've been forgiven of such a great debt, how can we not forgive others? There's a very clear parable that Jesus tells. And you know, Jesus always spoke in stories, because I think today sometimes religion has made it to where common people can't understand it. Jesus always spoke in farm talk to people that were farmers. Fishermen talked to people that were fishermen. But he related a story, and I'm not going to say it quite the way he did. But what in his story, he said, you've got a king who represented God the Father, and he has a servant that owes him a $4 billion debt. Now, that's unpayable. Today, to the average person, that's an unpayable debt. We couldn't even pay the interest. And when that person couldn't pay the debt, he said, I want him to be thrown into prison until he pays every bit of it, and his wife to be sold and his children be sold. The servant fell down and said, have mercy. I know I have a great debt to you. I know I've really wronged you, but have mercy on me. The king was moved with compassion and forgave him, released him from the debt. Now the servant went out and found another servant who owed him basically about $10,000-$15,000. But the servant too fell down to him and said, please forgive me. I'll pay you. Give me time. And he wouldn't, but he threw that fellow brother into prison until he should pay him everything. When the story got back to the king said, you wicked servant, I forgave you of a $4.5 billion debt, and here's a brother, a fellow servant of yours, who only owed you $15,000. Yes, it was a major debt, because $15,000 debt, if somebody stole from you, Sid, $15,000.
I'd be upset.
It's not one of those, hey, sorry, man, oh, it's no problem, don't worry about it, just forget it. It's a major thing. But what Jesus is saying is what we can do to each other that is major is absolutely nothing compared to what we did to God, yet He freely forgave us. So if I've been forgiven of such a great debt, how can I not forgive somebody that does something so far less to me?
But the key is, do we have the power to forgive? And the important question is, will it change your life? Will it literally set you free of the prison that you're in? We'll be right back after this word. Hello, YouTube. Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with John Bevere. And I said that some of you are in a prison. John Bevere, tell me about the prison that you were in.
Well, the prison is called unforgiveness. You know, it was always easy for me to forgive growing up, but once I became a Christian, it became even easier. But we have relationships, and in our relationships, we have expectations. And the greater my expectation is, the greater the potential I could be offended. If I don't have a relationship with a person and they do something, I didn't expect something from them. Or they don't do something for me, I don't expect something from them.
So it's the ones you love the most that can hurt you
the most. Hurt you the most. Exactly. That's what I'm getting to. So the closer the relationship, the greater the potential of offense. Because why? our expectations are greater. Mm-hmm. I had a person that was very, very, very close to me, a person I almost looked to as a father figure. He had done some things over a course of about a year that were devastating. It ended in climactic with some very, very harsh things that were done. When it happened, it was so obvious. I had people coming to me saying, Are you okay? Are you all right? I said, I'm fine. I'm going on with the call of God in my life. I'm going to live on with life the way it should be. Well, I noticed that the passion in my life, the love in my life, the joy in my life was beginning to dwindle. Month after month after month, I got drier and drier and drier.
Did you connect the two?
No. My wife would be so free, she would be singing, and there would be a song on that was moving her to tears, and she'd look at me, and I'd just have a straight face, and I'd be driving the car, and she'd say, "What's wrong?" I'd say, "Oh, I'm just thinking, I'm meditating." I was too proud to admit that I was offended. You see, the Bible says a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. Now, the man who wrote that scripture was Solomon. And in the days of Solomon, they had walls around the city, and walls were built for protection. People would erect those walls around the cities to keep enemies out. And that's exactly what happens to a person when they become offended. They begin to erect walls, but those walls aren't physical walls. What those walls are thought processes. They're reasonings that are deeply developed within our subconscious that we develop to protect us. Sid, when I first got saved, when the love of God first came into my life, I loved everybody. I was full of joy. I was exuberant with joy, exuding love, receiving love, because I had no walls, especially when you get saved. But when these things begin to happen, what happens is you begin to build up protection mechanisms and say, "I've been hurt, I'm not going to get hurt again." So now you subconsciously develop these walls of protection.
Yeah, and you really, know what I found? That I can say, "I forgive you," but then when that person's name comes up, all of a sudden the juices start working, and I have intellectually said I forgive you, but I really haven't.
It's not been from the heart. Yeah. Or there could be a wounding there, which I can talk about here in just a minute. Hmm. But you build those walls, and those walls that you think are protecting you, but really what they're doing is they're imprisoning you. Because now you're afraid to step outside the boundary of those walls. Now you develop relationships, and the people usually that you're drawn to are other people that are hurt as well, because you'll comfort each other in your mutual hurt. And I found this when I was in my prison of hurt, that the people that I hung around with were hurt like me. And the people that I thought were against me were really people, after I got over the hurt, I found out were the ones that really could have helped me, because they loved me enough to really speak the truth into my life. So this went on time, months and months and months. And finally, I remember walking out my backyard one day, and I just looked up to heaven, and I said, "Father, am I hurt?" And I heard this resounding voice screaming on the inside of me saying, "Yes." And I believe the reason it was so loud, I mean, it was like a shout on the inside of me, "Yes." And I think the reason it was so strong is because God wanted me to know, yes, you are hurt. The reason most people that are in unforgiveness can't get free is because they're too proud to admit that they're in unforgiveness. They're too proud to admit, "I'm still hurt," like you just said.
That's a vicious cycle, what you've just
terrible.
Described.
You're in a prison that you can't get out of because you don't even recognize the prison walls you're on the inside of. And so you're trapped. You're a prisoner. And you know, Jesus described this. I mean, he said that it is impossible that offenses will not come. Now, the Greek word for offense there is the Greek word scandalon. Scandalon is an old Greek word that was used to describe the bait stick of a trap that hunters would use to catch small animals and birds in. The hunter would put the food on the scandalon. The animal or the small bird would take the food, and as soon as they would, the trap would close and either capture the animal or kill it. Thereby, an offense is the bait of Satan to pull us into his captivity. Just like the little animal. And see, Paul confirms this when he writes a letter to Timothy, and he says, "Those that are offended with one another, those who are in opposition with one another, are taken captive of Satan at Satan's will." Now, that's a very strong statement. And the scary thing is this: you can believe you're a Christian, you can be singing, preaching, teaching, working in your church, but yet still be taken captive of Satan at Satan's will. And that's where a lot of people are, because Jesus said in the days that we're living in, these last days, the majority of the people in the church, now we know this is happening in society. I mean, we're looking at people today right now that have not been in the church, but they're offended. But Jesus said the majority of the population would be offended. That's one of the signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Now, how were you offended?
Well, what was done to me was devastating, okay? And it was from a father figure. If this would have been a stranger, it wouldn't have been as bad.
Again, the closer, the more love, the more you can be hurt.
Right. And so when I said to God, when he said yes, and when I said, am I offended? He said yes. I said, I don't know what to do. I remember coming off some time of prayer, an extended time of prayer, and I saw this person. And I saw them in a funeral. And he was a minister. And I remember weeping in this funeral, the last third of the funeral, I just wept. And I said, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. And I left that meeting thinking, okay, it's finally done. I've forgiven him from my heart. It's a done deal. Well, the thing is, I saw him 2 weeks later. And all of a sudden, I started thinking, wait a minute. How can he be so blessed? How can this man be so successful? How can God be taking care of him the way he is? How can God be using him the way he was? He's done this to others. He's not only done this to me. He did this to me. He did that. So I started rehearsing all the hurts, all the pain started hitting me. And I remember when I left his presence, I felt like a beat up man. And I went home thinking about it. I talked to my wife about it. That afternoon, I thought about it. I took a shower the next morning thinking about it. I drove to work thinking about it. And all of a sudden, Sid, I got scared. I said, wait a minute. I prayed. I forgave. I cried. Why am I still fighting these feelings of resentment?
Wait a minute. How about you? Are you rehearsing over and over what someone did to you? Then maybe you're in prison too. Let's find out how John got free. Be back right after these words. Hello, Sid Roth here, and I know some of you can hardly wait. John Bevere, someone he trusted, a real father figure in his life, betrayed him. He found himself rehearsing it in his mind over and over and over again. How about you? You're related to some of this. So what happened, John?
Well, I thought I'd forgive him, so I really got scared because I did it through prayer. And what I found is that you can, well, Sid, Paul made a statement in the Bible. He made the statement that this being so, I myself always exercise to keep myself free from offense with God and with men. The key word is exercise. Sid, if I was to walk up and I was to push you real hard or slug you, it would hurt, you wouldn't like it, but after it's over, you'd be fine. But now if I took a hammer or I took a chair and I threw it over my head as hard as I could and hit you with it, I would wound you. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some offenses that hit us. They're like that shove or that punch. They're like water off a duck's back. We don't like it when they happen, but when it's over, we're okay. Mm-hmm. There are other offenses that hit us and they wound us. They're like the hammer. They're like the chair being thrown over your head. And wounds don't heal overnight. And if not properly treated, wounds will never heal.
So there are people walking around with wounds for a lifetime.
Yes. Now think about a guy with a bad wound to his leg. Mm-hmm. What's going to develop in his leg if he doesn't treat it properly?
Gangrene,
which will what? Kill him. This is what happens with wounded people that are offended. If they don't handle this through the supernatural power of God, they're going to die spiritually. That's exactly what we've been talking about. So I said to God, I said, what do I do? Well, the Lord showed me something out of something that happened with my life. About 5 years ago, I was in Hawaii. I was actually ministering. I went to climb a wall to take some pictures. When I climbed it, I heard a shk in my knee, just a shk, mm-hmm. And I screamed. My wife and a friend were laughing at me in the car, but when I got down, they noticed I couldn't walk. Well, I ended up being in a wheelchair for the next 4 days and limping for the next month. When a physical therapist worked on my knee the next morning, he said to me, he said, do you want to know why you injured your knee? He said, do you know most people climbing that wall would not have injured their knee, but you did. And I was a little offended with what he said. And I said, all right, why did I hurt my knee? Why would most people not have hurt their knee? And he looked at me with the straightest face and he said, because you're out of shape. You don't exercise. And I thought about it. I thought about there's a lot of people out there that are spiritually weak. They're out of shape. They're not in the Word of God. They're not listening to God. They're not having intimacy with God. They may be busy in church. They may be busy in the ministry. They may think they have a relationship with God, but they're not intimate with Him. They're not strengthening their spirit man. Because the Bible teaches very clearly that our spirit is strengthened by the Word of God. Not just reading the Bible, but reading the Bible and God speaking to us. Our spirit is strengthened by prayer. There are people out there that when certain offenses hit them, they're easily wounded. There are other people out there, like some of these wrestlers, professional wrestlers. I've seen chairs broken over their backs. I've seen guitars broken over their head. I've seen them fall off of 8-foot platforms, yet they bounce right back up. They're in shape. There's some people that are spiritually in shape. When something hits them, it doesn't wound them. I've had things done to me worse, because this was many, many years ago, things done to me worse that would have probably wounded me back then. But now, because of what God has done in my life, it hasn't wounded me.
Well, let's talk about back then. You were wounded
by a father figure.
What did you do about it?
I exercised. Paul said, this being so, I exercised to keep an offense without offense. I said, God, how do I exercise? And Jesus made the statement. When he was teaching the multitudes on the mountain in Matthew chapter 5, he said, pray for those who abuse you. He didn't say pray for those who love you. We always think, oh, I'm going to pray for this person, that person, because they're close. He said, pray for those that abuse you. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, pray for that man. So this is the way I started praying for him, because the Lord told me, he said, you pray for him every day. So the first day I said, Lord, bless so-and-so, give him a good day in Jesus' name. That was how I prayed for him. That was the passion of my prayers. Well, I prayed like this for about 3 months, and I got no better.
Every day?
Every day. Just a half-hearted, oh, by the way, Lord, bless him. After 3 months, I was on another time of prayer, and the Lord showed me in Psalm 35 that David made a statement that there were people that did him wrong when he did them good. But he said, but when they were sick, he said, I prayed for them like my mother or like my brothers. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you pray for that man what you want me to do in your life. Well, that changed everything. Now I started praying passionately for that man, because God's...
Oh, wait a second. That's so profound. Say that again. How are you to pray for that person?
He said, you pray for that man the way you want, you pray for him what you want me to do in your life, or basically your family. Because David said, I prayed for them like my mother and my brother, and yet these were the people that hurt him. Now this is where the love of God comes in. Natural love cannot do this. Only the love of God. Because I remember this one person was just doing a lot of things one time that really was hurting me. Just slapping me in the face. I'd try to do something nice. And I got angry. And I said, I've had enough of this. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you need to develop the love of God within you and faith in the love of God. I said, I don't understand. He said, John, I had 12 people that were on my staff that I fed them, I discipled them, I clothed them, I paid their bills. I mentored them for 3.5 years. But in my hour of greatest need, one betrayed me, one denied me, and one stayed with me, and 9 of them fled for their lives in my hour of greatest need. Yet I chose to still die for them. I chose to still love them. And as a result, see, because he could have called for a legion of angels and been delivered from that cross, but he chose to love them. He said, I laid my life down for them even when they weren't loving me, but now they're loving me and I have many sons. Because whatever we sow, we'll reap. If we sow the love of God, we'll reap it, said. But if we sow selfishness, if you love me, I love you, that's what we're going to reap.
So you prayed every day.
Every
day. Then you got to a point where the love of God came in. Explain what happened.
Every day I was praying in this monotone, unpassionate prayer, but then God said, pray for him like you want me to do for you. Now I started praying for him, and it took everything in me, but I noticed there was a supernatural ability to pray, and that's the love of God. That's what the world's crying out for, Sid, is they say, I want that kind of love. See, God loved us when we were not lovable. He loved us when we were still his enemies. He died for us when we were still his enemies, right? That's the kind of love that the Bible said is shed abroad in our heart, and if we'll walk in it, then we can walk in that kind of a level that Jesus walked in.
Do you want that kind of love? I believe that right now God will physically heal you if you choose to forgive. Jesus said, I will forgive you with the same degree you forgive other people. How much do you want to be forgiven? I can't? No, you won't. I don't feel like it? It doesn't matter. You're relying on God. Choose to forgive. Choose to pray for that person. Choose to believe that the love of God is stronger than your flesh that's trying to pull you apart. The moment you forgive, I believe many of you are going to be physically healed. Do that right now in Jesus' name and watch what happens. Watch how even someone with a growth on their lip, it's going to disappear. But the choice is yours. The choice is yours. I've chosen. I'll forgive anyone of anything because I don't want anything separating me from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You choose. You choose. It's up to you. It's not up to God. He's already chosen. choice is yours. I know you're going to do the right thing, because that's the presence of God that you're feeling right now. That's His love. His love is coming on you right now. His shalom, His peace. It's wonderful. Nothing can equal the love of God.